Connecticut is facing a primary election for the governor's seat for the first time since 1978. And, of course, obviously, the legislative session recently ended. National concerns at the federal level are, of course, more prevalent than ever. And it's never been a better time to speak with Lieutenant Governor Susan Bisewitz. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
So can I first just say that I was at the press conference that you and the governor did earlier this week at Honey Bear Elementary School, Honey Bear Learning Center, the preschool. And first of all, congratulations to you and the governor on getting this measure passed. I honestly, can I be very honest with you? My son went to Honey Bear. My son went to Honey Bear, and Jen was one of his teachers, and I was sitting there, and I couldn't help but think, like, man, I kind of missed the boat on this. A couple more years, and I would have had it for free.
I know, and here's the thing. If Honey Bear was in my town, you know, I live in Middletown, all my kids would have gone there. It's a beautiful place. The teachers are amazing. And all of the playscapes and the educational opportunities are incredible. But we should let everybody know that this year we made another contribution to the Early Childhood Endowment. So now there is $620 million of state surplus money into an endowment fund to support free early childhood education to families making less than $100,000. And for those that make more, you pay only 7% of your income. And I remember when my kids were little, they're now grown, but when they were little, our child care costs were more than our mortgage. So this is a really big deal to save families, if you have more than one child, could be several thousand dollars a month. It's huge toward affordability.
Absolutely. And that was, I mean, listen, you know, for myself and my son's mother, that was definitely the situation with us. You know, the monthly costs exceeded our own rent to the point where, like, we did have that conversation early on about maybe one of us should stay home. Maybe one of us should go on leave, you know, and it's something that I think is going to affect a lot of families. Can you talk a little bit more? Because I've had a bunch of calls and emails from our listeners ever since Melissa and I did the story on this earlier this week. How can people avail themselves of this new program, of this new funding, I should say?
Okay. So the free part of it is going to into effect for 2027. And our Department of Early Childhood, it's called Office of Early Childhood, is actually, as we speak, building a website so that when you go on it, you'll be able to say, hey, I live in Stratford. Hey, I live in Bridgeport or Fairfield, put in, and then it will tell you where the early childhood opportunities are for your kids. So it's in progress, and it will be ready to go in 2020.
Well, I know that's going to be a huge relief to so many families in Connecticut. But, you know, let's stick to this summer for a second, because you're on the campaign trail right now. And it's funny, you know, in the intro, I threw in the date. It had that this hasn't happened since 1978, where there's been a primary challenger for the governor's seat. But now, Lieutenant Governor, I need you to educate me. I'm a little embarrassed at how little I know about this. Now, I know that a lieutenant governor and a governor do run separately. Mm-hmm. Although they'll be on the same ticket for the primary, if I'm correct, right? Can you just, like, illuminate how this works for the lieutenant governor's seat?
Sure. So lieutenant governor and governor are separate offices until one of two things happen. Either both of us win primaries, or we're both endorsed at a convention and there's no primary. So I'll take you back to 2018.
Okay.
The governor and I each had primaries, and we each ran in our separate primaries, even though we were supporting each other. And then when we won our primaries in August, we then became a ticket and were joined. And then people voted for us as a team, kind of like you vote for president and vice president.
Sure.
last year, last cycle in 2022, the governor and I were both endorsed at the state convention, and we did not have primary challenges, so we were joined at that moment. Now it's a little bit strange. The governor has a primary, and when he wins in August, he and I will be joined. I was endorsed, and I do not have a primary. And if we go back to 1978, wow. I do believe that was when Ella Grasso was challenged in her second term by Mr. Killian, who lost the primary, and she won.
Okay.
For her second.
So I've got to admit, first of all, now that just makes me feel better because it is about as complicated as I thought it was. I'm not just missing something.
Yeah, no, it is. And you're right. It's the only team office, if you will, at the state level. The governor and the lieutenant governor run as a team in the general election. So people will be casting one vote, hopefully, for both Governor Lamont and myself come November.
Now, there is theoretically at least a possibility that that Josh Elliott could end up winning this primary and that you would then be running with Josh Elliott. Is that correct? Again, speaking in theory.
Yes,
but,
yes, right. yes, exactly. And this has happened before when Dan Malloy and John DeStefano were running in a primary. Oddly, the lieutenant governor candidate who wasn't running with Dan Malloy, Mary Glassman, ended up, or I think John DeStefano won the primary. Mary Glassman was not his choice for lieutenant governor, and they ended up running together in the general election. So oddly, this has happened. It's happened before. I'm certainly hoping it's not happening because I do believe Governor Lamont has done a really great job, and I love working with him. And I'm hoping to be able to continue come November.
Absolutely. So can I ask then, because you will, you know, obviously be the candidate no matter what in the general, what is, if anything, your role in the campaign right now? Because I suppose now technically you're not campaigning, you're all set. So is the governor's office entirely taking care of that and you're just taking care of like the business of the state and administrative duties, or are you involved with the campaign at all? How does that relationship with you and the governor work?
So the governor and I are working together 24/7. So we are doing the people's business first and foremost, right, and making sure that our state is taken care of. And I am helping him and working very closely with him and his team to make sure that we win the primary on August 11th. And for anyone who's a registered Democrat or an unaffiliated voter that would like to vote in the primary, if you're unaffiliated, you have to change. You could change your affiliation and affiliate with the Democratic Party, even just for the day to vote. But I do want to put that on people's radar because it's the summertime and they should make a plan to vote in the primary. So you could vote in person. You could vote early. There'll be a week of early voting. And we just changed the law. So absentee ballots can be cast for any right. reason. So just for convenience, if you don't know yet whether you're going to be on vacation or out of town, you can vote early by absentee. So please, please, if you're a Democrat or you want to vote in the primary, put that on your to-do list for August 11th.
Absolutely. You know, I do have to ask, just because it has been in the news the last couple of days, which is unfortunate because it is Pride Month. There is this young man who is running for the 50th district seat, Jaden McCormick, and he's running mm-hmm. as a Republican. He's made some really... you know, in fact, Vin Candelora even called them hateful. So I'll repeat the phrase, hateful comments. What's the administration's response to that?
We fully support the LGBTQ plus community in our state. The governor and I were very proud on June 1st to issue a proclamation in a recognition of Pride Month. We've both participated in multiple Pride celebrations, which fortunately are proliferating throughout the state. And that kind of hate is and discrimination is just unacceptable. And we want our state to be a very welcoming state to the LGBTQ plus community. We've expanded rights and protections to that community. And we are known nationwide as being a very LGBTQ plus friendly state. And as a matter of fact, the best in the country. And we're gonna keep it that way. And that candidate, I think, did himself a tremendous disservice. Yeah. And I do agree very strongly with Vin Candelora on that.
Absolutely. Well, listen, don't let me let you go on a down note. Let's talk before I let you get back to your schedule. Let's talk
sure.
about CT-250 because, you know, I spoke with the governor about this a couple of weeks ago. He says he wants to get the Allman Brothers to Connecticut. I'm a big proponent of that. For you, ma'am, what are you most looking forward to with CT-250 and our 250th birthday coming up?
I am looking forward to all of the town and city celebrations. We're going to have a statewide one on our country's birthday, July 4th. It will be in Hartford. Come join us. But I can't wait to march in some of the parades and participate in the celebrations. And one fun thing that I want to add is that Denise Merrill has been working with the Department of Agriculture School at the University of Connecticut, and a professor has made charter oak seedlings out of the original charter oak. Don't ask me how possible, but apparently, yeah. And so every town in the state is going to get a seedling to plant. So if you're a first selectman or a mayor, I would start thinking about where you want to plant that charter oak tree, because every one of our municipalities is going to get a charter oak seedling.
Oh my gosh. You know, and I've read so much about the parades and the celebrations and the different things that we're going to be doing. I had not heard about that. So that is extremely cool.
Isn't that fun?
It is. It sounds like witchcraft to me. I don't know how they could possibly do it, but it definitely sounds like fun. It's awesome.
Well, I will say this, that my chair in the state Senate, when I preside over the state Senate, it's called the wishing chair, and supposedly it is made out of wood from the charter oak. But there's a lot of things at the Capitol that are supposedly made out of the charter oak, and I'm not sure if it was – I know it was a big tree. I'm not sure it's physically possible.
Fair enough. Hey, listen, you know what? Who knows? Maybe 250 years from now, there'll be 250 of them in every town in Connecticut.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Thank you so much, Lieutenant Governor, for joining me today. And yes, absolutely. Remember that there is a primary coming up August 11th. Lieutenant Governor Susan Bisewitz, thanks again for joining me. You're listening to The Download on The Voice Connecticut, WICC.